I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Boom, baby.
Naomi, I want to get right into...
Get into it.
...some bullshit.
Let's get into some bullshit.
I'm sick of this Hot One show. I'm sick of this Hot One. And this is the major story on the top of everyone's mind.
No, of course. Hot Ones. Go ahead.
Because I've been trying for years to get my own YouTube show where I have celebrities come to our house and help us clean up the litter boxes.
Mm-hmm.
No one will do it.
No one will do
no
it.
No one will
no
do
one
it.
Will show up at a stranger's house.
Bob Odenkirk, where are you?
Where are you? Come on, scoop.
Hey, Bob.
Scoop the poop.
Bob, if you're listening, I've been a huge fan since Mr. Show.
Scoop the poop.
Okay?
And let's talk
come
about
over
it.
To our apartment. Scoop some poop, okay? And tell it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and talk about where you're at. Talk about what
you're
working on.
Spill the tea.
On.
Scoop the poop and spill the tea.
Scoop the poop, spill the tea. There it is. And yet, people just want to eat some chicken wings. They want to eat chicken wings so their eyes tear up.
How dystopian do things have to get before I can get a celebrity to come over? You know, what avenues have to close for them
mm-hmm.
in terms of promotion?
Right.
Because the only reason they're going on the Hot Wings show, right, is because it's got a huge following.
Right.
They wouldn't do it otherwise.
Of course.
They wouldn't sit there and eat extremely spicy. They wouldn't have someone, you know, blowing vindaloo curry spice in their eyes.
Right.
They're like, well, there's 12 million people watching this, so let the host blow vindaloo curry spice into your eyes, okay?
And then hopefully everyone will run to the theaters. They'll run, not walk.
Why did I let this happen? This hurts so much, but please go see my new movie. It's a rom-com. So anyway.
I'm kind of thinking about whether or not that would work. Just like a sobbing person staring into camera. And even though the tears are like prompted by hot food, I'm like wondering if it is like a sympathetic angle. And someone's like, we should really go see that person's movie. They're going through it right now.
Is that why Sydney Sweeney's movie is so hot at the box office? Because they saw her on...
Was she eating them wangs?
Yes.
Okay. You know I don't keep up.
I still am not.
Is Sydney Sweeney a Euphoria?
Huh?
Is Sydney Sweeney a Euphoria?
Is Sydney Sweeney? I think so.
Because like there are all these like young, hip and hot. Like, is Hunter Schafer a Euphoria? Because like people, I'm seeing a lot of these like the same names and people. Uh-huh. And sometimes I'm like, is that a former Disney star turned pop singer, or is that a Euphoria? And those are the two ways I kind of. Because I'm like, this person is like very famous in a way, but like I don't know what they've done, and so I assume it's just because it's like not my age range. And yes. I know Euphoria was a real big deal with like young people. And so that's why I was like, is Hunter Schafer a Euphoria? Is Sydney Sweeney a Euphoria?
Yes.
Because you're young. So. You keep your finger on the pulse. You know,
well,
you're younger than me in a lot of ways.
I mean,
you watch a lot of content.
This is very disorienting. Like, you're online and it's just like dystopia. Here's a clip of a famous actor eating hot wings. Dystopia. Like, it's really, and then, you know, and then a joke. What every like
50 posts on whatever social media thing you use. It's just dystopia and then one joke every once in a while.
Yeah.
Used to be reversed.
Okay. Yeah. I know.
Used to be reversed.
I know. The numbers are up.
Yeah.
The numbers are up. In a way
then like fake AI, then it's, you know, a picture of Megan Thee Stallion kissing Nightcrawler from the X-Men. Some AI thing.
Okay, what is the algorithm showing you? Okay, I need to know why the algorithm said this man with a black wife might like Megan Thee Stallion and Nightcrawler. That's exactly what the algorithm would show you. That's,
yeah.
They'd be like, X-Men and a black lady? Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm really, AI is very much annoying me because I like to follow my like European architecture accounts and like, you know, I call myself getting away from here one day. And I'll be like, look at this house, it's beautiful. And then I'll see like at the bottom, it's like, it's not real, it was made by AI. You know what I mean? Like someone just like made the interior of something with a computer. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know, I guess you could do anything. I want to see what actually is. And it basically, I just don't appreciate being manipulated in that way. Because I'll be like, this gorgeous. And I'm like, it's not even real. Well. Get out of here.
Well, you
anyway,
know,
that's my journey. So that's why I just stick
you
to
know
pretty
what
much.
Baudrillard would say about that.
What would Baudrillard say?
Should we get to do it?
I don't. You brought it up though, so you better have a log line. What would Baudrillard say in a sentence?
He would say, that fucking who gives a shit? Hey, you know, just have
no,
a baguette.
No accent work. No.
Now I'm Italian.
It's like he's French Italian. Hey, I'm walking here.
Hey,
have a baguette.
It's me, Baudrillard. Hey, what's real? What's fake? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just want to have a pizza. So anyway, so. We covered a lot of ground.
No, we did.
In these couple minutes.
In a way that I thought was very like filling.
Yeah, we got a comment.
Did we? Is it negative?
No, it's neither.
It's neither negative nor positive.
Yeah, it's neutral.
It's a nooch.
So
Nooch-com. It's a nooch-com.
Wrote us at Instagram and said, Cassie St. Onge completely talked about the Sesame Street snuffle up against gaslighting issue on the podcast today. Busy Phillips is doing her best.
Okay, that podcast, yes. Busy Phillips is doing her best is the name of the podcast.
What? Are the chances.
Wow, what are the chances?
Are you listening, Cassie? Are you listening to us and stealing our ideas? Is that what's happening?
Angie, please don't try to start beef. Please do not even try to start beef over the podcast airwaves.
Especially because...
Please don't.
We are huge Girls 5 Eva fans.
Hello!
Busy,
always.
Come on the show.
Busy, are you
busy? Busy, are you listening?
Busy, are you available?
Okay.
That's the question. That's what we want to know.
Here's the thing. Bob, come on my show. Bob Odenkirk, come on my show where I scoop the litter box.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, Squee had his chemotherapy today. He's gained 5 ounces, folks.
He's up 5, baby.
He's up 5 ounces.
He's up 5. Values looking stable.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what we like to
kidney
hear.
Value stable. Everything's singing along.
Our boy's trucking along.
Okay, so Bob, you're going to come over and do that. We're going to film that. Busy, you're going to come on to promote Girls 5 Eva. Okay.
Yep. That's the plan.
Okay.
That's the plan. We're going to make it happen. We're just going to say these things as facts into the microphone. And then eventually they will have to come to be so. Think about that.
Yeah. So, Naomi.
What? What do you want to know from me, Andrew?
Two things.
Tell it, sis.
One. Do you not have a stand-up show coming up?
Well, look, you guys. Netflix is a joke festival. Yes, it's happening. It's happening in May. My show is May 8th, 10 p.m. at Dynasty Typewriter here in Los Angeles. Now, look, you hear 10 p.m. You look up May 8th. You're going to see it's a Wednesday. All right. So you're going to see, you're going to say 10 p.m. on Wednesday. Naomi, why?
Why would you make me do this?
Why would that's actually the question I asked to Netflix. Okay. For some reason, despite all the stand up I've done on that channel, wherein I describe being depressed, tired, looking for therapy, they said, why don't we put Naomi on a Wednesday at 10? Is it the best? No. But here's what I'll say. The theme will be pajama jammy jam. Okay. Come in your pajamas. Come with a mask, and we just gonna tuck right in, okay? I will have us out the door within 60 minutes. I was gonna say 11, but you know they be trying to start late and play games. But I say let's all be prompt, get right up in there at 10 o'clock. I'm gonna have a very funny opener. I'm gonna do about 45 minutes. It's gonna be my first long set in a very long time, so it's gonna be a mix of old and new, but it's gonna be a good time. I will be in Old Navy pajamas. My hair may be wrapped. Okay? But I expect you to bring that same vibe. Bring your best pajamas. Dress in your silk underwear like from the TLC Creep video, if you remember the throwback, okay? Give us whatever you got. The flannels, honey. and we just gonna do some jokes, and then we gonna get into bed. That's what we gonna do as a community, okay? It is a pajama jammy jam, Wednesday, May 8th, 10 p.m. at Dynasty Typewriter for the Netflix is a Joke Festival. Yeah, Andy will put it in, and obviously we still got a couple months to go. But, you know, I just want y'all to emotionally, mentally, physically prepare for a 10 p.m. weeknight show. I think we all have to just emotionally, physically prepare for that to happen. So
what if we offered one person who comes to the show under their seat, free car? There'll be keys to a free car.
A car that was stolen? I ain't got car money for somebody. Andy, I ain't got car money for my damn self.
I know. We have chemotherapy cat money.
We got chemotherapy cat money. Even though I said at this damn rate, we done punched the card 10 times and need to get a free session. Okay, as much as we've been going to this damn vet.
Well, when my litter box show takes off.
Yeah.
What do we call it? Scoops?
Yeah, I guess it's gonna be called Hot
Give me
Poops.
The scoop.
Give me the scoop.
Give me the scoop.
Colon scoop of course. The poops. Bill, that's it.
You know, well, that's the tagline.
Well, that's
give
the tagline.
Me the scoop,
that's the thing. Yeah.
And the tagline is scoop the poop, spill the tea.
You know, Andy, every time you come into the intro with these ideas, and I'm telling you, people are going to steal these from you because they're people with more time on their hands and more business acumen, better business acumen.
Who's the most famous person we know?
I don't know.
Chris, Nicole.
Sure. So, and what are you saying? You mean
can we get
them?
One of them to come over here?
Okay. And do what?
And
scoop the poop?
Yeah.
You want that to be the we first can even, episode? You know what? I'll just put it in, episode?
Yes. I'll just put it in the yard. They won't even have to come into the house. So we don't even have to worry about fucking, you know, masking and testing and all this shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In the yard.
Scoop the poop.
In
the front of the house.
The front of the house. In front of our apartment building.
Yeah, in the front of the
so
apartment.
That our neighbors
apartment.
Can be like, what the hell is going on
what
down
is
there?
What's happening? Absolutely.
Why is Nicole Byer on the why did she agree to this in the first place?
Yeah, the whole neighborhood will be ubbos, confused. The schizophrenic man will come and yell at us all. During the recording, and that will be the vibe.
This is gonna be good.
It's gonna be huge.
It's gonna be huge.
Massive.
Yes. So, by the way, speaking of huge, massive, we are huge and massive fans of today's guest, Naomi.
Oh my God, this was a wonderful, wonderful episode. Yes, honey, we sat down. We talked to, you've heard the dulcet tones of Dylan Adler.
Yes.
Dylan, honey, is a comedian, an actor, a writer, a musician. He was a writer on The Late Late Show with James Corden. You can see his stand-up on The Late Late Show on Comedy Central. If you in LA, Dylan is also doing the Netflix is a Joke Festival May 9th, also at Dynasty Typewriter, at the respectable hour of 8 p.m. Okay, so I'm the 8th. Dylan's the 9th. Netflix is a Joke Fest, and Dylan's,
could you have changed it? Could if you had read it, the contract?
I asked because when I saw, because I was like, oh, I'll do it, and then I looked and I was like, wait a minute, is this 10 p.m.? Can we change that? And they were like, no.
But had you already signed the contract?
Nothing is ever signed.
But you had
it's
already,
like a yes in an
email.
You'd
already said yes.
Yes.
Oh.
So that's where it is. It happens. I'm in too deep. But I'm also like, I don't know. I feel like a festival is 3-4 months in advance where I'm like, because I was like, maybe we should just like not. Because I was like, I don't know if anyone's going to come. This is the kind of talk for Patreon. I can't be talking about my business like this. Stop it.
Oh, yeah. Patreon. Patreon.com/couples therapy pod.
Oh, absolutely.
Pulling back the sick curtain of showbiz.
Always. Always. Every day. You know what? Let's just stop before I end up getting a cease and desist.
All right.
Roll it.
Dylan.
Yeah.
I just woke up a little while ago. So
He's getting there.
No.
And we're finding it for him.
So okay. Dylan, you're from the East Coast. Is that correct?
No, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from San Francisco.
I knew it, California.
See, we were having hold on. We were having an argument in quotes.
Yeah.
Before this. Where we were talking
about. Oh my god, you're fighting over me. Yes, I did.
You went to NYU, right? And I was saying, I'm like, well, most of the people that go to NYU are probably from the East Coast. And Naomi's like, I think probably, first of all, are you rich? Did you grow up rich? Because Naomi said if you're rich and from California, you probably go to NYU.
Well, my dad is a doctor, so like, you know, it's like, I grew up like upper middle class, yes.
Yeah. No, it's not about shame. I think we have to be open and honest about our roots.
Yeah.
Whether they're
we do.
Spindly. Or strong.
Spindly and strong. Absolutely. One man show title.
Also, when it comes to class, I'll say this. You can't choose this stuff.
Well,
it's not like you could have been like you like a class warrior at 10. And
I didn't choose the upper middle class life. It chose me.
Forced your parents to give away. Their buddy. So that's like, you know, I'm not, I would never castigate someone for.
No, but this is why I was like, NYU, you could be a West Coast NYU person.
Because it's just
about, like, you know, knowing NYU exists. And I think that's for a certain, you know what I mean? Like, knowing that that option is even an option. So.
Yes, yes.
But now, you know, this is something, you know, I'm obsessed with. Your latest video, you have an identical twin brother.
But wait, I don't want to get off the subject. How'd you even know NYU was a choice then if you're on this other coast?
I'm on the other coast, and I actually thought I wanted to go to like UCLA or like a California school or
that's what I thought.
Yeah, and that's where I was dead set. But I wanted to do music composition, and I wanted to be like Hans Zimmer or like film scoring, like John Williams. And I really liked NYU's program.
I loved program.
You know, it was the pogroms of NYU that I really liked. Mm-hmm. So I applied there. I didn't think I would get in, but I did. And it was I liked the program the most there. So I was like, I'll go here.
I almost went to NYU. I went, they had this master's program that was interdisciplinary, and I was going to study the philosophy of experimental literature.
Oh my God.
They gave me zero money to do that. And I said, this would be a huge mistake to do this.
Yeah,
there is no job market
for
anyone studying the philosophy of experimental literature, let alone either one of those things on their own.
Right.
Oh, yeah, That sounds like a make your own major, Gallatin.
Interdisciplinary. And I went, I was like, I could live here in New York. And
just be poor, just be broke as hell.
Literally the rest of my life.
Yeah, the rest of your life.
This was going to be a choice, a complete life choice.
No, that's choice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
From a little bit out of the cradle to the grave. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Maybe I want to actually like be able to afford like a couch at some point.
Right. Afford a couch. Dylan, can you afford a couch?
Yeah, I don't have a couch yet, but me and my boyfriend are going to go to Living Spaces soon and get a couch. Or Ashley, I don't know.
Ashley Furniture. Living Spaces is good, though. They do have some good options over there.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So wait.
Good.
Now,
I was going to say, I'm going back. I interrupted you, but I had to stay on this. Look, I'm a journalist first, okay? Wow. One thing I am, I know journalism is dying. I'm going to be the last journalist in America doing this.
Yeah, Ronan Farrow. Yeah.
Now, you have an identical twin brother. Did your brother also go to NYU? Did y'all go separate? We had a guest on the show, filmmaker Sarah Dosa, who is my college roommate, but she's a twin, and we were roommates freshman year, and it was interesting to kind of talk on the, you know, obviously as adults now, where I'm like, oh, she was used to having a person around her all the time, and I was the only child, and so like as roommates, I was like, I need you to go away, and she was like, let's walk arm in arm. Were you like that?
Sister, and you're
never
like,
knew how much I missed you. And so,
keep singing, Naomi. The audience really, I've gotten a lot of messages that say they want you to keep singing.
But were you and your brother, did you both go to NYU? Was that a separate time? What was the deal?
Separate time. He went to Rochester University, Eastman School of Music. He majored in oboe. Yes, he's a classical oboe musician.
Wow.
Yes.
Was
he
like Peter and the Wolf? What else?
Yes, he did. That's not even a joke, bitch. He played Peter and the Wolf.
Wow. So what was that like to then be a part? Was that your, it was your first time being a part?
First time being a part. We needed it. It was good. Like, we were fighting a lot in high school. We came out to each other. We were the first people we came out to. I was like, most porn I watch is of guys. He was like, same. And that was it.
Was that really it? Was that like...
That was really it.
Can I just ask how it, like, was there any tentativeness, or were you just like, we're just going to say this?
That happened after a night a friend of ours had come out as trans, and we were driving home. We're like, oh my God, that was so brave. I admire that. And I was like, most porn and watches of guys. And he's like, same. And we were like, well, that's it. We're gay, I guess.
That's interesting. I can't think of anything I would want to talk about less with my sister than anything having to do with
sex.
Sex,
period.
Gender, pornography,
yeah.
Anything like that.
Yeah. I guess that was the only barometer I had, though. I'd never had an experience with a guy, like, only porn so far. And I'm like, I'm watching 100 out of 1 times gay porn. Yes. Yeah.
But I guess I meant, like, it's the sibling thing.
Yes, yeah.
It's the, like, I would have, like, talked to literally any other human. I love my sister, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
But I would have talked to any other human in the world.
But I think being the same gender maybe makes that conversation a little bit less.
Henry Kissinger. I would have talked to Henry Kissinger before my family.
And Henry Kissinger is brought up 5 minutes. 5 minutes. My brother and I feel, but like we've always been a kind of a, like we share literally everything with each other. And it's always been that way. And our family, like we didn't grow up like, there's no like real, like that much religion. So like we're very open and like talk to like, so I don't know. There was, I think we already talked about, my mom literally, we had PCs and we watched so much porn that there would be viruses that would contract. Viruses. And my mom literally was like, I will subscribe you to a good porn site so this doesn't happen. What do you want? Peter Fever, Kung Fu, Manhunt? I'll subscribe.
Oh my God, that's hysterical. I mean, you talk on stage, and again, how, you know, obviously it's a joke, but you talk on stage about how your mom was like, so excited to have two gay sons. And how true is that in terms of like, meaning how much was she like, this makes me an amazing mother? Or
yeah, how true? This is the Hasan Minhaj interview. You want to know the absolute truth. If your comedy isn't 100% factual, we're going to reveal it here.
It's emotionally true, but no, I don't know. So my mom, like, you know, she, I think was, well, she could by high school see our internet history. She was like right. Seeing it. Yeah. So she was kind of like hinting, it's like, you know, if you are, you know, I think it's fine. You know, like my dad literally accidentally found gay porn on my computer when I was a sophomore. But I think it was just kind of fun, like to me. She wasn't like, oh yes, but it was a funny thing because I think it's this funny little thing that she puts on to kind of connect with her gay sons now that they're openly gay. Uh-huh. She's like, oh yes, I'm extra too. Oh, she, like, there's drama in my life. And so you, like, ooh, like, but also, like, when we were young, we all watched Project Runway together, like, me, my mom, and my twin brother. Mm-hmm. And she literally, like, drove 30 minutes for us to meet Tim Gunn and get our book signed by him.
No.
So she always, I don't know, she kind of, like, there was a little bit of a fag hag inside of her, too, waiting to come out.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. So you wouldn't say, though, like, because... You wouldn't say mom's a narcissist who's like, your life is about me.
No.
Because when I hear the joke, okay, that's what I'm saying. Because when I hear that joke, I'm like, oh, that could be that personality too.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
Okay, but no, she's just like supportive. And like, and it's like,
now. She's like, when you're, like you're saying, like Bay Area, like progressive, like, look at me. I am.
Yes, she could be like a monstrous progressive.
Yes, no, it's not that. It's more like, trying to be funny and connect with, you know, with me and Max.
Yeah, a good parent as opposed to someone for who you exist as
an avatar.
Yes, as a satellite around their planet that they are trying to pull into their own mass.
Yes. Yeah,
which of course
is
a normal metaphor we all
No,
understand.
That was a casual, cool metaphor. you mentioned, you know, having a boyfriend, going to living spaces together. So this is a real step up in a relationship. Are you someone who, like, do you tend to have relationships? Are you more of a dater, a hooker-upper? What's your situation?
I was never a relationship person. Like, this is my second ever relationship that I've had. I feel like I always grew up around, like, people who were serial relationship people. And me and my brother were just the perpetual third wheels of these people. But I had a boyfriend like 2 years ago in New York City. Now I have a boyfriend now in Los Angeles, and we've been together for like 5-6 months.
Wow. So wait, how long have your parents been together?
They've been together for about 35 years, I think.
Okay. And how old are you?
Yeah. 27.
Oh, okay. Oh, 27, two relationships.
I know. Dylan's youthful. He's young and he's very successful, and it's like hard to watch sometimes, but I try to push through and I try to be happy for other people, just knowing themselves, remembering NYU gives you a leg up if you're really business minded.
You went to Wesleyan. You went to Dalton and Wesleyan. You do not get to talk.
I don't know.
I went to public school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to state schools. No, mm-hmm. The fact that I'm here is a miracle.
You're screaming at me in front of company.
I had a caffeine
the
pill.
The fact that you're alive is a miracle.
Thank you.
Stay alive. I'm so sorry to do
no,
that.
No, I love
I'm
that.
Sorry.
No, that's very much who I am in my alley is in this home, in this relationship. You know, we're making mm-hmm. songs. We're bursting into them mm-hmm. as much as possible.
Yeah.
Do you feel like in having a, you know, growing up with an identical sibling, having obviously like a good relationship with at least mom, I don't know about dad too, even though it sounds like people were finding porn and just being like, go ahead.
Yeah,
just
wait,
let
sorry.
Us just mm-hmm. let us sign you up so you can stop ruining Microsoft Windows.
He's trying to type up a document and it's
just virus just deleting everything. He's like, I'm trying to work here, Dylan. Your dad is like, these patients need their medications. And these viruses. But like in relationships, and I just ask again, like, cause you are a performer, a creative person. So there's some, you know, baseline mental illness there. You know, how easy is it for you to let people in? Because you are, look, you know, you're charming, you know, you could very easily keep up a wall of, we're singing, we're dancing.
Yeah, you could be a talented Mr. Ripley if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So I, like, when it comes to letting people in, I was kind of, like, hooking up in New York when I first got there and stuff, like, you know, exploring. But then there were 4 or 5 years where I wasn't dating, hooking up at all.
Really?
Yeah. By choice, because I was like, you know, like some, like, it's very common in the gay community, but like sexual assault and rape, very common. And that's like, I experienced that and it kind of just like scared me and like really made me like afraid to just like date again or just like even like be intimate with anyone. But it wasn't until like literally after pandemic and like kind of getting back into it and meeting other people that I kind of like opened up to the idea of even like being sexual with another person or like intimate with another person.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really rough. How do you even like get back into a space where you can,
well, right. What was your healing process?
Where you can have intimacy with someone.
Yeah. For me, I went to, you know, it was Fire Island. Isn't that kind of crazy? I was getting a friend of mine invited me to do it. And I was like, kind of afraid. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? Like, I've heard stories about it of like the being racist and bad. But I went and I thought it was like a really kind of mind opening and like kind of, I feel like I open my like I to new experiences, like meeting guys, having fun with guys, and it kind of like reintroduced like the pleasure around those experiences. So then I was more open to like having those. And then the next person I met was like my first boyfriend. Okay. And we like connected. We met at the Rosemont, a gay club in Brooklyn. And
you know,
then
I don't know no clubs. I said Brooklyn, I'm out. Club, I'm double out.
Were you gonna name a Gristides?
Fair.
If you would name a Gristides, we'd be like, "Oh yeah, I know that." Gristides.
Oh yeah, I know.
Oh yeah, we bought
ice cream
juice.
Shop.
We bought orange juice there after a show sometime. Oh yeah.
There's something in the back of my brain though, where it's like Naomi knows the gay bars. She knows the gay bars.
And I am honored. I would like that to be an assumption, though I'm very much in the house. You know what I mean? Because
okay, yes.
I used to be active.
Yes.
And now, you know, I just, you can't get me out past 10. You can't get me out in these streets past 10.
That's fair. You're in the house of Ekperigin.
Thank you.
We went to a New Year's Eve party that was celebrated on East Coast time. So we were out of there by like 9:30.
I respect that you know yourselves.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But okay, so it was kind of like, because it sounds like part of what you needed or what you got from that Fire Island trip was like community. Like a safety and security of community.
Yes. And it was like, you know, I didn't really, when I was in New York, most of my, like when I started comedy, the most people I knew were just like these straight dudes who like, you know, I was like friends with, but kind of on the periphery was, and I wasn't meeting any other like gay guys. So I wasn't like Fire Island introduced me to like ketamine, but it introduced me to like, you know, like actually feeling, because like I would sometimes enter gay spaces before that and feel afraid and intimidated and not welcome. Because a lot of times it's like, it is scary and Regina George-esque and very all white and very like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it predominantly the whiteness that is the kind of
the gross part?
Yeah.
No,
what I was going to say was barrier. With the thing pushing, like, the analog for me would be growing up Jewish in a Christian area. We talked to my dad last night, and he told us, like, well, I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania. And just, I had known that there was, like, some stuff, like the Klan had marched there weekly in the 70s.
Yeah.
But my dad just went in on, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, where I grew up, like, there was a, what was it called? Restrictive something, but he's like,
Restrictive
covenant, where they were like, Jews and black people couldn't live here.
You
and I'm
cannot
like,
sell houses to Jews.
Wow.
Yeah, you grew.
And it was like,
that's where we grew up. That was literally like where he grew up.
Wow.
And then I grew up like 5 minutes from that era.
Oh my God.
And we were trying to explain it. And like, we were kind of, I was saying, I was like, well, you know, and of course you kept being like, well, it wasn't like that when you were a child, Andrew. Like, you know, things got better. And I was like, and what I was trying to explain, I was like, but it's in the fabric
it's
of
there.
The space.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
the
there.
Culture
the,
was founded
the
on a
atmosphere.
Right. Like, the culture was established with the idea of live here if you don't want to see black people or Jewish people.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my God.
I use that because to me, it felt like a force field. Like, there was just this, like, I could not push past that. And I'm curious if that metaphor works for you.
In terms of the gay space.
Yeah. Or just, like, I felt afraid, and I'm like, I didn't meet anyone in the gay community at that time who was like, oh, you, like, come and hang out with us. Oh, why don't you come to dinner? It was like kind of this, like, I felt afraid and also unwelcomed and just like, and I was angry. I was like, fuck you fucking like, yeah. Like, and so then I was like, no, fuck that. I don't want to go to this space. And I became like a little self-hating, but like I, but Fire Island was the first time where I was in a space where I was invited to this gay space. And there were actually like, it was a house of like a lot of like other like POC queers too. Like my friend Jess Tom and I had a really bonding experience there. Yeah. And so that was like a really kind of like eye-opening. And also that I went to Fire Island the week the movie Fire Island premiered. So it was like, yes, there was a feeling of like gay Asian kind of like, you know, it was like gay Asian, feeling my gay Asian oats a little bit. So it was kind of like, oh, wow, okay, I really do like doing these gay things and being with these gays.
right.
Once. Yes.
Oh gosh, that's so funny.
And then, so that kind of like set you on a certain path. Did you have you been in therapy too? Is therapy a thing? You know, the twin pillars of this show are romantic life and therapy. So.
Yes.
I am curious.
I was in therapy for a while, and it was like we were talking. Like I feel like it has helped a lot, you know, when it came to like, you know, rape trauma stuff or even like other just like general things. But I think it was really being in the real world and experiencing this kind of like joy community and like sexual pleasure and like that kind of opened me up to like being ready to be in a relationship and, you know, like kind of it really did open a little bit of a door for me.
Yeah. I have to imagine that it would just kind of destroy your trust period in the world.
And that
takes a long time to heal.
Yeah, I mean, there was legitimately a time where I literally thought I would never find love or sexual intimacy with another. I just thought, I'm like, maybe it's just not, I'm just one of those people where it's not for me and it's not just going to happen. But it was, I felt like very happy to be able to like find an experience where it's, you know, I found it was possible to feel that.
I'm so happy for you because, you know, it's the process of healing and finding joy is not for the faint of heart. Do you know what I'm serious? I was like, you know, when something happens and what it takes to get to that other side for so many people, you know, it's not it's not a straight line and one is not easy.
Yeah.
And so to, you know, I'm just happy to hear you saying this and also you as somebody too who, you know, you, I think of you as such a joyful person in terms of what you put out, you know? And so there's also what it is to go through something and then have something left over for other people, you know? And I think that is, thank you, Dill. That's wonderful, man. I'm very serious. I don't know if it's like too earnest, too early morning.
I appreciate that a lot, Naomi. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Indeed. Because you are such a sweet and kind person as well as funny and talented. So I think
that's why I allow this young success. You grew up right, like your dad Jewish?
Yes, dad's Jewish, mom Japanese.
So like, just because when Andy was talking about like growing up, you know, like Jewish, were you bar mitzvahed and stuff? But you said you didn't grow up with religion, so I'm assuming
I didn't. I didn't have a bar mitzvah. But okay, we celebrated like Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, Passover, but we didn't like go to temple regularly.
Okay.
Yom Kippur, you guys do the fun one.
I never did the fasting. We never fast in our family.
You gotta try it. It's a great diet starter.
Part of why I was asking that is because, you know, talking about sort of community and finding your people, when you were like teen, what was your community? Like, who were your people when you were in high school, for instance? Was it theater kids?
It was theater kids. It was the weirdos of high school. Like, me and my brother, we were friends with these. Every lunch, we would be eating it in a music practice room. And, like, one kid playing piano. And, like, it was just, like, Halloween, we watched Rocky Horror Picture Show. So, like, we were just, like, I was friends with the people who were in the musicals.
This is so crazy. The theater kid stereotype, I never understood it because the theater kids in my school were just kids that were into, that were into Brigadoon. They were not the outcasts of the school. They were not, as far as I know, you know, I haven't really kept up with them, but every once in a while I'll log on to Facebook to put up the couples therapy episode and I'll see something from someone and they, you know, boring adults.
They're not like quote unquote weirdos.
Right.
Yeah,
they're not like outsider artists. Yeah. They're not, you know, they're not drag queens. The stereotype, I never understood it.
Well, theater kid is not a monolith, you know, like I was friends with a theater kid who was very well liked and popular in the school. Me and my brother were not one of them, but he was, and it was just like, you know, like they love creativity and like songwriting and that was their favorite thing. But like, they could have also been like well liked in the school, and you know, like they also would like get in front of the school and do like fun, like they were hosts for homecoming and stuff, and everyone was like, "Oh, that dude's so funny!" Yeah. Like, so there was also that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's what my high school theater kids to me is like those are the kids who are, like, first of all, very talented and, like, serious. Like, I associated them. I was like, that kid's going to be a star. Because it's like, you don't kind of get up in front of people at that age unless you really believe. Right? Like, I think that age is the age of self-consciousness and that discomfort. So to me, kids who could push through that, I was like, okay, well, that kid's going straight to Hollywood. That kid's going straight to Toronto. They've got the stuff.
Yes. Me and my brother were not one of those kids, or I was too shy to even do that. I was just friends with them. But yes, I really admired about them that they could just like push through and like perform in front of people. And, you know, even if someone like was judging them, they didn't care.
Well, when then did you become a performer? Because I mean, you talked about, going into composition, because composition isn't, you know, being in front of everybody. But then obviously, you know, the person we know, you sing, you write your songs, you do all that. So when did that shift happen?
So in college, I was like really into like, I want to write for theater. I love like Stephen Schwartz and like that was my big dream. But then I took a 2-credit acting class and there was like an improv element in there junior year. And I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. And so then that night I went with some kids to the People's Improv Theater in New York to an improv jam.
Yep.
And then I was hooked and I kept going back to the jams and I made friends there and we're like, oh my God, let's try our first open mic. Let's do a first open. And so then I started improv and stand up kind of at the same time. And I fell and senior year of college was when I was like, really like, okay, I think I really actually want to do this instead.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. It wasn't. So you didn't like drive to Chicago and like hold a vigil outside of Del Close's old apartment where he would do heroin 24 hours a day.
Oh man, I never thought I'd hear that name again. I did intern for the Del Close Marathon in 2018.
Absolutely.
Yes, I did.
You paid your penance. Uh-huh.
Yes, I did. Close,
far, yes. Wherever you are. Did I do it? Did I sing, guys?
Yeah, you sang.
Yes, you did.
You did.
You did.
Okay, I feel like we're in a good place. We've gotten a lot from Dylan. Dylan, do you feel ready to help some people help themselves?
I'm ready to help people help themselves.
All right. Excellent. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to answer your advice questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back with Dylan Adler here to help you handle your scandal in a Marriott Bonvoy, honey.
Okay. Of course, Irene Adler, famously the comic character Destiny, who is married to Mystique.
Oh, Lord.
In the X-Men.
Okay.
And this is okay. I learn something every day. I love that. All right.
You have to stay teachable. You have to stay teachable.
Lifelong student. Yes. Yeah.
Should I save that for Jay Jordan?
Yes, you can talk about X-Men.
Yeah, he loves X-Men.
Okay, we get questions from all over. We get questions from Instagram, from Twitter, from Gmail. Of course, our favorite is voicemail. Naomi, what is the voicemail number?
323-524-7839. Now, y'all, I say it all the time. I want your pronouns and your log line up top, okay? Because sometimes you be meandering, and I'd be like, what's the question? So I need you to get the information up top, and then the details. And remember, you do have a three-minute limit. That should not be hard to stay within 3 minutes. 3 minutes is a full audition monologue. Okay? That's an audition.
That's a boiled egg, right? It's an egg timer.
No, an egg, honey, is at least 6.5 minutes.
All right.
Now,
we got this question in anonymously on our Instagram yesterday. It started with time-sensitive question. And I have been...
Oh.
Because we have been historically bad at answering these
in a timely manner.
In a timely manner. Like someone could actually listen and be like, oh, that helps. Or like, I hate their advice, but now I know what to do. Like, we've been bad. So Dylan, I saw this and I'm like, okay, I know we're taping an episode tomorrow. Let's do this one.
We answered one question 5 months late and the girl was like, I already moved out. You know what I mean? Like,
it was, yeah. It was, okay.
It was so late.
We try. This is look, folks. We are endeavoring to help. We're not just asking your questions to fill time.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes. Do you want to read it?
Okay. Pronouns she, her. Logline: our wedding party is gay as fuck, and our families are old farts. Do we need to warn anyone about each other?
Interesting.
So that's the top piece, and this is someone who understands directions. So I already love her. Okay. Now, the details. My fiancé and I are cishet, and we're getting married in May. The wedding guests are mostly family, but almost all the friends being invited are represented on the progressive pride flag. Our families aren't homophobic, but their worldview is dated, and they could accidentally say something inappropriate or offensive.
What, dated in what way?
Well, let's see if we get some thoughts. My fiancé's theory is that while he doesn't want to out anyone, he thinks our families might need some advance notice so they can be prepared to act correct. My theory is that if we don't warn them, they won't notice. But if we give their brains a riddle to solve, they won't be able to help themselves, but to start trying to guess who's trans or gay, etc. What are your thoughts about this? Is there another way about this we haven't thought of? Could we drop hints or make a nonchalant comment to normalize inclusiveness? Do we tell some family and not others? Do we warn our friends about our family? Any help would be greatly appreciated. I love the pod and listen weekly. I even listened to the entire backlog when I first started listening last summer.
Oh.
Okay, I'm honored. That's over 200 episodes. So you are in deep, and that's beautiful. Okay, so basically she's just like, okay, our family could embarrass us. It's basically what she's saying.
What is the...
She's basically worried about her family
saying
something out of pocket.
Do they think
around their friends?
Are their friends like leather daddies that are going to show up? Like it is the...
No, I... Nope.
Like,
I,
what is that? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what is the worry here?
Well, the worry is, okay, they're saying our friends are represented on the progressive pride flag and their families aren't homophobic, but their worldview is dated. Like,
I would
maybe
say
there's...
disinvite the family, right?
Andy, no, that's not possible. Dylan, what do you think? You know what? I'm going to ask our guests their first thoughts.
Hearing that, they said the family is not homophobic, but I'm like, I think they're teachable. They're teachable, and I think a little briefing to them would not hurt. And also, yeah, like how you're saying, the friends are not going to show up in jock straps or be in a full, you know, whatever. So, like, it's not like, it's just, I think it's mostly for their comfort that there's not going to be tension between, like, the family and the friends.
Right.
I think a little briefing to the family.
But do you think you would brief the friends at all? Because for me, it's almost easier to brief my friends and go, hey, my uncle is a little weird. He may call something quote unquote gay and think it's funny. So try not to talk to him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I might be like,
yeah,
don't talk
yeah,
to
yeah,
this
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
Because it's almost easier for your friends maybe to understand, like, because I think the worry is, right, the sense of like, I don't want my family to embarrass me and I don't want my friends to think that, like,
I don't want my friends to feel ostracized at my own wedding.
Well,
that's the concern. Mm-hmm. Like when I hear questions like this, my instinct is always to do something to minimize the effect of the people who are
possibly
outdated.
Offensive. Yeah.
That. Who are outdated, mm-hmm. who for whatever reason have not accepted the world as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And can't get past whatever parochial kind of tiny town thoughts that they grew up with. I say those people are the people that have to do the changing.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I am vicious about that.
Yeah, whatever Amish thoughts are.
Yes.
Is that the, yeah. I agree with that. And also, I'm also here for a little warning to the friends of like my family. I apologize if, you know, they're a little bit like distant or weird, you know. Yeah, maybe just I don't know how to phrase it, but I think
I know. I do agree. I do agree, though. You know, you said, Dylan, you're like, talk to the family. They seem if they're outdated but not homophobic, there's maybe a teachable moment there. But I do think, again, here's where this one. Okay, this is someone who did do what I asked, pronouns logline. But I'll tell you what I could have used here. Some specifics. Because I would like a specific sense of the kind of stuff we're talking about. When we say outdated, what are the kind of things that these people might say to someone? Because there's a big part of me that says, and this is somebody, you know, we got married in March. We went through this stuff. Like, my thing is like, there's a lot to be worried about with a wedding. It's anxiety inducing. You got all these people coming together. The cost, will it go off without a hitch? Like, you know, all the kind of details. You got to remember, and this is something Andy's constantly reminding me of. He goes, everyone's an adult. They can take care of themselves.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so you can't micromanage too much human interaction.
That's why I'm merciless. When it goes, I'm just like, it's 2024.
Fucking behave.
Fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think on one hand, I want you to worry a little bit less. There's enough going on planning a wedding that you ain't got to lose your mind about this part. However, you got to give me specifics about what kind of things we talking about, because I would say to an uncle or a cousin, don't go off about X, Y, or Z topic that you like to go off about. You know what I mean?
The robber barons. How much you love the Carnegies and what the Rockefellers did to put down unions. I got to say, the Pinkertons are doing their job. Yeah, maybe a couple union people get murdered by them.
But I think it's also like, because I think, though, also remember, too, it is a wedding. So for the most part, the conversation will be kept light. And the actual drama is less likely to happen between two strangers and more likely to be between, like, fucking auntie and uncle. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be more like with the people who know each other and get drunk and act crazy. It's less going to be, like, your friend and a family member getting into it, because the conversation's probably not going to go there.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like weddings are so anxious. This might be this, like, bride being, like, playing out this scenario of an uncle being like, I hate Lady Gaga, and a gay being like, and they duke it out. This seems like an anxiety dream. It's like, it's not likely to happen.
Yeah.
By the way, Dylan, when you said a briefing, what I imagined was that the bride and groom pass out, like, packets with information with people's pictures. And just talking about each other, and they have like a PowerPoint or something like that. That's what I imagine, like an actual, like, hey, we're gonna sit you down here, you know, we've got some finger foods, we got some enjoy, but we're gonna tell you about all of our guests.
Okay, the L stands for lesbian. Okay, the G is just going through each letter for the family to make sure they don't say something stupid.
Do you ever like see this like at like a red carpet-y thing where there's someone.
The publicist will have
publicists will have like pictures like so they don't like mess up like
spelling someone's name
or just like, oh, that person's actually that's Angelina Jolie and they forgot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Treat her like trash. You can't treat Angelina like trash.
Did you know that, Dylan?
Did you know that, Dylan?
You can't treat Angelina like trash.
Correct.
Of course. Yes. I move through the world saying that.
But wait, okay, I'll ask this. Dylan, have you ever been to a wedding or formal event where people were, let's say, retrograde?
I have not been. Okay, I've played piano for weddings. I was an accompanist for weddings. They didn't seem super retrograde there as in Brooklyn. It was an all-white wedding, though. I was the only POC there as the pianist.
What?
I'm like, in Brooklyn? This is impressive, actually.
You have to do a lot of work for it.
That's a lot of work. Yes. But I haven't been invited to many weddings. My brother has, where his like boyfriend at the time was so worried about like what his family would say to like Max and I think it was for the most part fine, but I haven't experienced that yet.
Do you have any family, like extended family, that's out of pocket where you go, I can't bring them nowhere?
For the most part, not. I mean, like, I feel fortunate, like that my family is like Bay Area, so like they are at least like, they know people, like my cousins are fair, like I have some gay cousins too, so like in the family it doesn't seem very, and like my Japanese grandparents, they probably and definitely I know have very out of pocket opinions, but they are so Japanese they will never say it out loud. So I don't worry about them speaking their mind. Yes.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if we asked this. How did you meet your boyfriend?
Hinge.
Interesting. Okay. So Hinge means like, yeah, you were really like, I am ready to look for a relationship if you're signing up with Hinge.
Yes.
Okay.
I was.
Okay.
Which one? Sorry. What? I sighed and then grabbed my temples. Which one is Hinge? I feel like I'm elderly when I'm like, which one is Hinge?
Don't you have to have friends in common or something on Hinge?
Hinge is what I say, it's Christian mingle for atheists, in that it's people ready to like look for relationships, look for love. It's not hookup based. It's like you write these prompts that tell you about you as a person. And that's kind of what it's like. Tinder's a little more, is like midway between Grindr and Hinge. And then, you know, Grindr is just hookup. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's what the spectrum
so
to me.
Hinge is the least amount of torsos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There it is.
Most clothes.
You want to do another one, Andy?
Yeah, you have time for one more?
Yeah.
All right. This one comes, this is a voicemail. All right, so let's all enjoy this together.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. I think I left a message before and you might not have answered my question because I might have sounded maybe a little drunk or a little unhinged. But basically, it was about, I started dating my boyfriend about a year and a half ago. It's probably when I called in. And I was just concerned about the money discrepancies between like our lifestyles. And, like, he makes a lot more. He's paying for a lot more. How's this going to pan out? So cut to a year and a half later, and there's just like some deeper issues now. So we've moved in together, and he's definitely just loving and understanding. We're splitting the rent in an equal way. It's his house, but he's like, you just like pay a percentage of what you make, which makes sense because I don't have like a steady paycheck because I'm kind of a gig worker, which is like really, really nice. He's very awesome about that. But the new thing that's rising now is like, his family and everybody's like kind of fancy rich people. And now I'm still like, I don't know what it's like. Okay. I don't know what the new problem is. It's like, I feel like everybody's like judging me now. Like it's still the same thing. Like it's still kind of an issue because we went to this yacht club party, for example. There is no world where I would ever be at a yacht club, you know what I mean, like kind of like if it wasn't for this man. And he's like super down to earth and everybody over there was nice and they had a nice time, but I can just tell there's this like, I don't know, I feel like his family looks at me like I'm kind of white trash. I don't want to say that, like, you know, but I don't know, what do you think? I just need more advice. I need more. Thanks guys so much, and bye.
Okay
this is another one I'm going to need specific.
This feeling is familiar to me, though.
It's familiar, but I do think what I don't know yet is this in your head? Is it a hang-up? Or are these dangerous whites? Do you know what I mean? Are they mean? Rich people. Do you know what I mean? Like, they could be like mean, snide comments. Oh, did you get that at Marshall's? You know, type of people.
No, or, they wouldn't even know what Marshall's is.
That's true. They wouldn't even know Marshall's. Or is
Where'd
it that?
Where'd you get that at Walmart?
Or is it that because you are out of your element, you're feeling very self-conscious.
So, wait, here's the thing. Dylan, you grew up, you were close to a billionaire. Is that correct?
Googleplex.
I would love starting a rumor that Dylan Adler's a Nepo baby.
Well, my mom's side of the family grew up like, I don't know. It's like, because like my mom's side of the family, like she grew up like in a mobile home. Like her family like kind of grew carnations in the Central Valley. My dad's family is like kind of like middle class. And like he, like when I was in middle school, high school, started to like make a like make more money because he got promoted like at his hospital. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of... But I feel fortunate. I haven't been around I don't feel like I've subject to dangerous whites. Like I don't know the yacht club of it all. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like that's...
Have you ever been to a country club or a yacht club or something like that?
I've been to them. Yes.
What's it like? Because I've only ever seen it on TV.
It is what you think.
Yeah.
It's what you think.
Really?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's well, it's like, you know, there's the golf course thingy, and then like, you know, it's very fancy and very like, you know, see, it is like how it looks on the movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Caddyshack is real.
That is a documentary. Yeah.
I mean, wow. It's interesting. So like, you know, You called me out, Dalton Wesley, and I know my way around some rich people. And growing up, and it's just funny because like I grew up in, first of all, I was on scholarship, financial aid. I grew up in Harlem, but it was what Harlem was, not what people think of Harlem as now. You know, I always say it's a pre-Red Rooster Harlem because people hear Harlem and they go, oh, and it's like, no. Okay.
Yeah.
And so
I met so many white girls who were like, I'm in Harlem. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I just remember too growing up where like I'd be like, oh, like when I would see white people on the train and on the bus, and I've talked about this a lot on the pod, but how it was like growing up, 96th Street was the cutoff. The white people got off the bus at 96th. And me and my friend who also lived in Harlem, our school was at 88th Street stop. So we always knew stand next to an old white lady and the seat will be free. And then you'd have a seat from 96 all the way to 135th. And then over time, right? Like, and then I remember, you know, you get to high school and now it's like, okay, these whites are creeping up to 103. The whites are creeping up to 110. The whites are up to 125.
The whites are creeping.
Like, we were like, oh God, like the neighborhood is, like that was how we would think of the neighborhood changing.
Mm-hmm. Great title for your memoir, The Whites Are Creeping.
But I never dated, I guess what I was saying is like, I never dated like rich boys. So like, I wasn't really, you know what I mean? Like, or like if I was with dating somebody in college, you were in college. So unless you went to their parents' house, you never really saw that stuff. So I didn't really know that kind of thing in a romantic relationship, but I definitely know what it was to go to like a friend's house and be like, oh Lord, I am out of my element. How do I play it cool? Yeah. How do I seem like I belong in this space? When I obviously don't, you know, we're like, I remember going to bar mitzvahs and it was like, there'd be an afternoon one and an evening one and I would have on the same outfit. And like other girls, other people would change clothes between.
They would do quick changes in the middle.
Exactly. Like, because it would be like, you know, a 2 p.m. person and then maybe like a 7. And so it would be like 2 to 5. And then like I would just go to someone's house in between. We would like kill time. And then we'd go to the next person's thing. But I was like in the same dress. These girls were giving. They were like literally 12 years old serving looks. And I was like, I had like 5 dresses. And you would just rotate the 5 dresses to all the parties. Because it was like, these are the fancy dress things. But
I think the thing with that level of wealth or being around that level of wealth that a yacht club connotes to me is that you think there's a certain... rule book that they're all playing by and you were never given that book. That's when I feel when I went to wealthy friends' houses and it felt like they were operating by a different playbook than I was.
Yeah.
And I was just spending I think a lot of the anxiety is just like, what the fuck, how many forks am I supposed to, what, which one is what, like a lot of stuff like that where it was like at home We have a fork, a spoon, and a knife. And that's it. And now there's suddenly three of them. There's a soup spoon. And, yeah. and you're just like sitting there panicking, trying to figure out which cutlery goes with which course. And also there's courses.
Right.
They didn't at home, you just plopped it all down in the same plate.
Right. You just ate everything in one go.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's maybe some of the anxiety that our caller
maybe feels
might be feeling, and I don't know how much of it is coming from. That's where again, Naomi, exactly. you're saying we need more
deets,
more details. I don't know how much of it is coming from the other side, and how much of it is self-created because you're just like panicking about like what the fuck do I do?
What are you thinking, Dale?
I would also recommend, like, I think yes to that, but also. That this person, if this is something that this person is feeling, to bring it up with the boyfriend and like, you know, I'm not trying to point fingers, but this is something I'm feeling and I want to express that. And if your boyfriend is like a good, compassionate person, then they should be like receptive to that.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, is this something you can talk about with your boyfriend? And also, is this a boyfriend who, when you're in these scenarios, does he have your back? You know what I mean? Like, is it really kind of like making sure you're comfortable, having a check-in, you know, kind of just standing by you in these scenarios where it's not...
Yeah.
It's his people, not yours. Because I think that's what'll get you through. Like, that's what makes a relationship last long-term. You know, this person who's like, I got your back. You know, I'm not going to sell you out. Like, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to, like, kowtow to somebody. You know, I'm with you in this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're wearing something from Marshalls? How precious.
And if you don't let it out, it's just going to stew. It's just going to stew inside and it's going to come out in different ways. So,
yeah. That's true.
Here's the thing. Where's the anxiety? So it seems like the boyfriend, though, has been very understanding about financial stuff, right? The rent is divvied up by how much you make as opposed to just splitting it, which is nice, right? So I'm curious, is it just being in these unfamiliar contexts that is doing it? Or what is, like, is it your own issue?
Well, and this that's is the thing. Say.
That's what I'm like. That's where I'm like, where, what is happening?
Right. That is like really the question of sort of how much of this, what are you feeling about this? Because it does sound like, because you even said, you're like, I'm not sure what the problem is. So it seems like maybe you know you have discomfort. But the question is it being caused by someone else's behavior? Or is it, you know, your own reaction to what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, that's a big part of deciding kind of what needs to change or who needs to be talked to in this situation. Because it's like, if he, like, you know, I think it's something regardless you talk about with your boyfriend, because like, you're going through something and this is the person you live with. So you guys need to like sort it out. But I do think that this could also be something that you have to sort out on your own, because if you love this person, you want to be together, but this is kind of where they're from.
Yeah.
You're going to be in these types of settings often. And I don't want you feeling like you don't belong or physically, emotionally uncomfortable.
Caller, have you thought about getting a 6-figure job? They're just everywhere right now.
Think about it. Think about just getting one. Just going, knocking on an office door.
Yeah, go wherever.
And just saying, I'm here to be paid.
Apparently the economy is booming.
That's what they said.
I don't see it around, but every statistic I see says it is. So I would just go get a 6-figure job and then just fit right in.
Absolutely.
Get your country club membership and start eating Niçoise salads.
Oh, wow. Niçoise. That's a good one. You know what? For some reason, I think of like a wedge salad. Rich people food is pretty nasty, but I always feel like I see wedge salads on menus, which is like literally, I'm like, that's a hard white chunk of lettuce with a cream dressing and then bacon bits. And I'm like, why am I supposed to be impressed by rich people? Maybe that's another thing to do too. Maybe you'll feel less nervous if you just look and realize these people just putting blue cheese on a hunk of lettuce.
Oh, yeah.
Just think about that. Maybe you won't be as intimidated.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I worked for this millionaire and the worst job I've ever had in my life. And her one, I was going to say nice, but not really. But the one thing where she was pretending to be nice was she was going to take everyone out for dinner for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the menu, and it was just like literally all meat and wedge salad type stuff like that.
Oh,
and
God.
And I had to make an excuse. I'm just like, because I'm like, what am I going to do? Go there and just sit there and not eat anything, or like, right, have some bread. And then,
right, right. Yeah. But like, Dylan, you went to NYU. You grew up in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have met some like fancy ass composition students.
Fancy ass.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 I've met the fancy people. I've met Korean billionaires.
Ooh.
I've met, it's so when I would go to, you were talking about the bar mitzvahs. I went to some bar mitzvahs that I was like, oh, this should be on TMZ. This should be televised. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I did, and like I think maybe it was like, you know, I have like proximity to white, I'm half white and stuff. So when I would be around these kinds of whites, like I didn't have this secret like they know something I don't. I'm just like, what's up? I don't know, like I don't know. I didn't have that, but I'm like also not like, because my dad is like, I grew up like upper middle class, so I'm not like discrediting what this person is feeling. That's just my experience of growing around those people. I'm like, oh, there's something that I never like had that thought. For some reason.
Well, no, that's good. I'm just saying, like, you know, never apologize for not being afraid. But I know what you mean, but I think it's like this feeling, because she's sort of saying like, I'm worried they think I'm white trash, you know, and that to me, I'm like, are you really getting vibes? Also, like, are they giving you the cold shoulder? Because also, like, wasps can be cold, right? Like, are they just like cold weirdos, or are they actually saying stuff? And that'll help you kind of decide. Oh,
I say just be Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack.
Go on.
Okay, just lean into like roasting these people.
That's the thing.
Right? Just memorize, either memorize or come up with your own Rodney Dangerfield-esque jokes.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Walk around saying, I get no respect.
Yes.
And then, always sweat.
If they're the ones that are being pricks, right?
Right.
If you are not self-generating this anxiety, if they really are being assholes, then you could say, like, get a tie.
Yep.
And then, like, shake it like Rodney Dangerfield. Hey, I get no respect.
That'll be good.
Perfect. By the way, that was a perfect Rodney Dangerfield.
No, that was a good impression.
That was good.
Oh, yeah. I get no respect.
Dylan, are you the rich one in your relationship?
Well, before I was not before I booked a Walmart commercial.
Oh.
Ooh.
So I know. And even before that, I was like, PSA, commercial money is where it's at. There,
honey, I've been trying for years. Don't I know it?
But I think yes. In this relationship, I will offer to pay more things, because I'm like, I can't believe how much I made from this commercial. Yes,
my friend Megan Gailey, my I Love a Lifetime movie podcast co-host, she bought a house like a year or so ago, and I was like, tell me how it happened. She's like, I was in an almond milk commercial, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna do a commercial for almond milk.
That's the dream. I know.
How
I made more money.
Did you make?
Oh, yeah.
<Don't>.
Google Plex.
Google Plex.
Google Plex.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Plex.
Of course.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Dylan.
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 Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
What a delight.
This was a dream and a delight for you to just take time out of your tour, honey, in the Marriott Bonvoy to sit with us, share with us, and help with us.
I'm legitimately such a huge fan of you, of this podcast, and I've been a huge fan of you for a long time, Naomi. So
oh
I am honored. My twin brother is like, he's going to freak. I'm going to tell him. He's like, ah! He called me during this, and I'm like, mute, bitch.
Okay, yeah. Max. We see you. We hear you.
Max.
Your hair is always luxurious, Max. That's all I have to say. I want to know about the deep condition routine.
Max, please send us an original oboe composition.
Yes. Peter and the Wolf.
No, original. I want
original.
Yes, an original theme. An original okay. Oboe theme just for us.
Okay. I will send that over.
Max, that's the couples therapy challenge we're giving you.
an original
oboe. It doesn't have to be long. I'm not asking for not asking for like 10 minutes. Yeah. I'm asking for like 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds at most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 60 mm-hmm. seconds, 90 seconds, 3 minutes.
Yeah, maybe 3 minutes. Maybe it's multi-tracked and maybe as many. You know, maybe it's a minimalist kind of like Philip Glass, Steve Reich kind of thing.
Wow.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do.
No. We're not gonna tell you
I'm
what to do.
I'm just gonna suggest. Uh-huh.
We're gonna tell you to do it.
Yes.
But we're not gonna tell you what to do.
Yeah.
It's going to be WAP. Just 4 minutes of that.
Okay.
Hey. An oboe.
Yeah.
I would be that actually.
Oboe WAP.
Oh my God. All right, you guys. Well, stay tuned for Oboe WAP. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.